Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Push that green button back there, Chad. Romans, chapter 10, if you would, please. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. My text will be verse 3. I was talking to a lady one time, and I asked her, I said, I know you've gone to church for a very long period of time. How do you view your relationship with God? And her response to me was, real good. So I follow that up with, well, what is that which you are trusting in to get you to heaven? And her answer to that question was, my good behavior. When you talk to the average churchgoer and you inquire about their reason for going to heaven, they will tell you about their good works. Now, most people hold the view that their good will outweigh their bad, and that if they try to live a good life and are sincere, that God will understand. And it's my objective to dispel that notion. I would like to discuss the deceitfulness of self-righteousness, and that is the title of my message, The Deceitfulness of Self-Righteousness. We'll be looking at self-righteousness, we'll talk about unrighteousness, and we will be talking about Christ's righteousness, and we pray that it is a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, and we ask you, O God, that Lord, you just use this word to our hearts and to our minds that we might be encouraged by the truth that we find here, and that we who are saved will rejoice in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, and our righteousness is found in Him, and Lord, it's to you alone whom we look, and Father, may we just give you the honor and the glory for the salvation we have. And we do ask if there's anyone here today that is not saved, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ and show them the futile and the effort, the lack of help that they can find in their own righteousness. Oh God, that they would see that in them is no good thing, that they would turn to you for genuine salvation. And so we ask that you would just meet every need, and we give you the honor and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk about self-righteousness today, and that's really what we find in this text. Let me define self-righteousness, and it really would depend who you read and all that kind of thing on how you might come up. But this would be a definition that I would give it. Self-righteousness is man's viewpoint that his character and or actions are meritorious in the eyes of God, thereby securing justification for evil already committed or even yet to be committed, the deeds being of sufficient righteousness, having satisfied the justice of God, elevate the individual to a right standing before God. All that to say, you just think you're getting there by what you do. You think it's good enough to pay for your sin. And that's how I would define self-righteousness. Let me describe self-righteousness. There are several points I want to submit unto you. And I didn't have enough room to put these on the outline, so if you would, just bear with me here. When you think about someone who is self-righteous and they have that concept, they understand that sin is bad and deserves penalty and the administration of judgment. It's not that they're saying they've never sinned. They admit that they're sinners. They admit that there's a judgment upon sin and they deserve it, but their resolution of that, no, that's different. And so a person who is self-righteous does believe that they've sinned, and they do believe that they deserve judgment. Secondly, sin's penalty can be relieved through unrelated acts of righteousness. In other words, they say that they're sinners, but I can make up for that by doing this. I can live a certain way. I can treat my neighbor right, keep the commandments, that kind of thing. It's the scales of justice theory. You put my good in one side and you put the bad on the other side, and if the good outweighs the bad, then you get in. and if the bad outweighs the good, then you don't make it in. A lot of people believe that. And people that believe in self-righteousness, that believe they can produce good works to merit God's grace, then you know what? They have that concept. I can just live a good enough life, and God will let me in. So self-righteousness has that idea that through their works they can make it. And so that would mean that they believe, in the third point, is that man has the ability to produce righteousness. If a person holds to a self-righteous concept, then they have to believe that they can make that righteousness. They can produce that kind of righteousness. So then number four, they also believe that man can earn God's favor by his righteous deeds. And so if I live a good life, if I do keep the commandments to the best of my ability, although I'm imperfect, those righteous deeds will be enough to make God love me. Self-righteous person would have that viewpoint. Number five, they would also think that sin does not defile a man, eliminating his ability to produce righteousness. Yes, they're sinners, but they're not depraved. Yes, they've done things wrong, but I can still do something good. A self-righteous person would have that perspective. And you know, the general world has that viewpoint anyway, that all men have this little spark in them, and all you have to do is just fan that spark and it'll flame up into something great. Self-righteous individuals will hold that perspective. Number six, man's acceptance and right standing before God is based upon his ability to produce a sufficient quantity of righteousness, forcing God to accept the said righteousness in payment for sin and for satisfaction of his justice. In other words, they see that they are sinners and they've done this wrong. Well, they have to do enough good to overcome that, to where God then has to forgive based upon that good, and God's justice would be satisfied because the good was much more than the bad. So if you commit just a few easy, light sins, but you do a lot of good, well, you can kind of make up for that, you see. And if you commit a really dreadful sin, a big sin, is, and we'd like to separate between big and little. Catholics separate it between mortal and venial. But, you know, no matter if you make it a big sin, then you have to do a whole lot if you're going to make up for that. Well, the self-righteous man believes that he can, and he can do enough in order to make God forgive them. And then number seven, since it is initiated, generated, cultivated, and harvested by man himself, then such righteousness is called self-righteousness. And so if you talk to anybody and they believe they're getting to heaven because of their good works, they've done enough, and then they're self-righteous. That's their perception. And then number eight, self-righteousness requires that God deal with each person on an individual and unique basis. Now, why is that? Well, your sin's different than my sins. And my goodness would be different than your goodness. And so God would have to deal with everybody on an individual case-by-case basis, which God does deal with people on individual cases. However, when you sin, you know what? You sin. You transgress the laws and the commands of God. And you're under condemnation. But the self-righteous individual person says, well, I know that I've sinned, but I only sinned a little bit, so I only need to do just so much to get over that. You get the concept. That's the idea of self-righteousness that's described. And what does self-righteousness do? Self-righteousness denies some things, and I have them listed. And self-righteousness denies depravity. And some of this will bear out from what the statements we just described self-righteousness as. Self-righteousness denies depravity. Go, if you will, back to Isaiah chapter 1. I do have a number of verse references today, and I tried to list them on the outline. If you cannot get to them, then don't worry about them, but I want to encourage you to turn if you can. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. The scripture says this, and what I mean by depravity is that man is wholly defiled by sin. When we're sinners before God, we're lost, we're undone, we're depraved. And it's affected every portion of our nature, every bit of us, even the will. And so we're depraved sinners. Self-righteousness would have to deny depravity. Now in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah makes this statement. It's found in verse 5 and verse 6. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. Notice his description of their depravity. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And he's simply just saying, you know what? You're sick from head to toe. All throughout, you're completely defiled. Now that's true in the spiritual sense, my friend, as sinners. outside of Jesus Christ, we are depraved. And every aspect of our being is tainted by our sin. Now, I didn't say you can't do good things. I didn't say that depraved sinners can't be philanthropists. I didn't say that they couldn't be good people or produce good works. However, producing good works before God is an entirely different matter. And you cannot be self-righteous because everything you do is tainted by sin. Self-righteous individuals have to deny depravity. The Bible teaches depravity. And so understand that. If you would go over to Isaiah 64, this is a very familiar text. Not only does self-righteousness deny depravity, it also denies disability. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the scripture says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, what does he tell us? He tells us that all of our righteousness, anything that you think you can do, anything good that you think you can produce, is as a filthy rag. Now, because we're in mixed company, I will not tell you what those English words mean in reflection of the Hebrew terms, but just take the word for it, filthy rags. Despicable, low, I mean, it's unclean, nasty. And you know what? All of your righteousness is as a filthy rag. People who are self-righteous, they would deny that. They'd say, "Now wait a minute! I can produce something good. I can produce something wherein God will be pleased with me." But it says that all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. Then self-righteousness denies declaration, and that is a declaration of what the Scripture tells about man. And we'll understand a little bit about human depravity here, but Romans chapter 3, very familiar passage, verse 10 through verse 12, says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh under God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And so people who are self-righteous and believe they can get to heaven by their good works would deny this biblical statement of inherent depravity. They would say that they have the ability, that they can produce, but the Bible says they cannot. They don't seek God. They don't long for Him. They do not produce good works. You cannot, not outside of Jesus Christ. And yet there are many, many people who are very self-righteous today. If you ask them, "Are you going to heaven?" they'll say yes. And if you say, "Why are you going to heaven?" they will say, "Because I've lived a good life. I've treated my neighbor right. I keep the commandments to the best of my ability," and on and on. They have many, many reasons. Sometimes they'll say it's because I joined a church. Some will say it's because they've been baptized. All works, isn't it? All works. So self-righteousness denies declaration. Let me submit unto you as well and go to chapter 8 of the book of Romans. You'll find that self-righteousness denies death. You know, the person that's lost is dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 will tell us that when we were saved, we were made alive. But we used to be dead in trespasses and sins. But not only were we dead, in Romans chapter 8, you find in verse 7, we were enemies. It says, "Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." A person who is lost, a person outside of Jesus Christ, says that they are enemies of God and they aren't subject to the law of God. In fact, they cannot be subjected to the law of God. They will not yield. They don't have it within them. Do you know why? Because of depravity. If a person is self-righteous, and that lady who thought that she was getting to heaven by her good works, she would not understand this matter of being dead in sins. She would not understand being an enemy of God. But the truth is, everyone who believes that they're getting to heaven by their self-righteousness is denying the fact that they're dead in sins and denying the fact that they're an enemy of the Lord. And then further, it also, if self-righteousness is going to deny damnation. And by that I mean this, because let me read to you a verse. I'm going to read out of the book of Hebrews. But sinfulness, according to the Bible, sinfulness is so great that there's only one remedy for sin. For a person to believe that their self-righteousness will get them into heaven, they have to deny that. They have to believe that their sin, although it is wrong, and so even if it is a big thing, it's not so bad that they can't turn it around, that they can't do something to make up for that. But what we have to understand, according to the Bible, sin is a great atrocity in the face of God, and it violates God's very nature. And that whether it's a little thing or a bad thing, you know what? Sin separates us from God. And when people say that they're self-righteous, they think that they can get in some other way because sin just isn't that big of a deal. But I'll tell you, sin is a huge deal. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the portion of scriptures that I'm going to read to you is just verse 22. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. There is only one way before God that I can be forgiven of my sin. Only one way you can be forgiven of your sin. Only one means of justification. And I'll tell you, the Bible teaches it very, very clear. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the atonement of which He has provided for sinners. But if you're self-righteous, you don't believe that. Yes, Jesus died. It's a good thing. He made it possible for me to live a good life. No, my friend, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by Him. And so, if you're self-righteous, you're going to have to say, you know what? Christ isn't sufficient. I can do it on my own. And of course, that's exactly what they believe. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. I want to tell you one other thing that self-righteousness denies. I've given you five things. It denies depravity, it denies disability, it denies the declaration of the Scripture, it denies death, and it denies damnation. But it also, self-righteousness denies deliverance. And by that I mean that the necessary righteousness of which a sinner needs comes only through Jesus Christ alone apart from works. A self-righteous person would deny that statement. And I've been very clear already, I think, that you understand that I believe that the Bible teaches that the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. There is no other way. And I know that's narrow. I know that's not politically correct. And that doesn't matter to me what the world thinks about that. I know what God says. And salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. There's one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. And a self-righteous person thinks that they can produce their own deliverance when the Bible says that only Christ can give us the deliverance which we need. I've asked you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He says, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. My friend, if you can live a good enough life, if you can produce enough good works to make up for your sin, then there's no reason for Jesus Christ to die. But Jesus Christ did leave heaven. The Son of God came to earth, took Himself a human body. He was crucified on a cross as a sinner, though He never sinned. And He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He's alive right now at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back. And why did He do all that? Why did He go to the cross? He was a sacrifice for sinners. And if you can do it, there's no reason for Him to have done that. But Christ's death is not in vain. Self-righteousness denies deliverance. They think they can do it themselves. Now go back to our text, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Our text is verse 3. I want to notice the self-righteousness which is depicted in our text. Verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, what do we find here? We notice something about the nation of Israel where Paul's making a statement in regard to them, and he says that they are going about to establish their own righteousness. That's self-righteousness, isn't it? It's exactly what it is. They're going about. Now, that word going about means to seek for, to look for, it is to search after, to pursue, to endeavor to attain. I mean, they think that this is what they can do, and so they're after it. It's not like they're just sitting back saying, well, what will be, or we don't really care, and all roads go to the... They believe in self-righteousness. They believe that they can keep the laws of Moses, and that's what they're pursuing. They're going about. Now, they're going about to do what? To establish their own righteousness. That self-righteousness, and that word establish means to make the stand, to set forth. It is to affix or to appoint. It is to establish, to confirm, What they want to do is they believe that they can get to heaven by their good works, by keeping the laws of Moses. So they're making it their business to make that true, to make it come about. And so it says they're going about to establish their own. And those words in the Greek, do you know what that means? Their own. It's not somebody else's, it's their own. English says it exactly the way it is. To establish their own righteousness. Not somebody else's righteousness, not Christ's righteousness. Their own righteousness. That's self-righteousness. And the tragic thing is there are so many today, even within Christian denominations, who are going about to establish their own righteousness. All you have to do is ask them, why are you going to heaven? What is your reasoning? And they will say, I'm doing the best I can. They will say, I've been baptized. They will say, I'm a member of this church, or I give money, or I treat my neighbor right. More than you think within Christian ranks have a self-righteous concept. As a matter of fact, some of them think that's because they raised a hand and repeated a prayer. They have no clue about who Jesus really is. They went through some sort of motion. And they think because they did some sort of act, that's their righteousness. It's not that at all. Righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Now, what do we find here in the text? Paul talking about the children of Israel, and he says that they're going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, what that tells us, and glance back at verse 1, Israel is indeed in need of salvation. They understand that, or they wouldn't be going about to establish righteousness. So he says in verse 1, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul knew that Israel as a whole was lost. Paul knew that they needed to be saved. Israel knew they needed to be saved, or they wouldn't be going about to establish it. So they knew, and he knew, that they needed salvation, but they supposed that their righteousness is something that they could produce on their own. And that's the problem. And so their zeal is borne out in verse 2, and that is what motivates them to pursue their own works. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They want to go to heaven. They want to be with Jehovah. They just don't understand the truth. You know, that's still true in our society today. You ask the average person, they don't want to go to hell. Hey, you want to go to hell? Oh, yeah. I mean, I met one guy that said he wanted to go to hell and party down with his friends. And that guy even stood up, shook his fist to heaven, and cursed God and said, God, kill me, God, kill me. And my brother and I were witnessing to him, and we just stepped back because we were figuring that guy was going to drop dead. He didn't, fortunately. But you know what? The average person wants to go to heaven. The average person don't want to spend eternity in hell. The Jews, they knew that they had to do something. They wanted to be with God. They had a zeal in God, but it just wasn't according to knowledge. And in many churches across America today and all around the world, they're in churches today because they have a zeal for God. They have a zeal of God. But you know what? It's not according to knowledge. Doesn't it behoove you to search the Scriptures to know the truth, to know who Jesus Christ is? So they had a zeal of God, but what was the result of that? Verse 3, our text. They were guilty of self-righteousness. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. That's self-righteousness. And so we've given you many things about that this morning. We see it borne out in our text in verse 3. Let me pass on to unrighteousness. And the reason I say unrighteousness, because here's the statement, self-righteousness is unrighteousness. And my friend, if you're trying to get to heaven by your good works today, you need to let that statement just sink down in your heart. Self-righteousness is unrighteousness. It is not good enough, never will be good enough, and I have some reasons for that, because self-righteousness is incapable. Go back to Romans 1, please. It should be just a few pages back to your left. Self-righteousness is incapable. By that I mean to say that self-righteousness is not what justifies us, it is not what satisfies the justice of God. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Scripture says, for therein, it's a reference to the gospel back in verse 16, for therein is the, notice, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See that? Faith. Not living a good life, not doing a bunch of good works. not fulfilling religion. The just shall live by faith. Notice verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. According to the scriptures, we didn't have time to look at all the abundant verses, but I'm telling you, my friend, self-righteousness is incapable. It will not satisfy the justice of God. We already looked at that verse. I referred you to it. I read it to you, but Hebrews chapter 9 says that it was a shedding of blood. Shedding of blood. And it's not the blood of bulls and goats, but it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So unrighteousness, self-righteousness is unrighteousness. Self-righteousness is incapable. Secondly, it is inconsistent. Look at chapter 2, book of the Romans. And by that I mean this. The individual is not righteous, for he is still bad in many areas. It's a dual standard. In Romans 2:1 it says, For thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for that wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. In other words, here's a self-righteous individual, and I want you to know that it's unrighteousness because it's inconsistent. Self-righteousness is inconsistent. Okay, so you used to go out and let's just say you go out and you get drunk. And so you defile your body with alcohol and you do that on a regular basis, and the self-righteous person says, well, I got to live a good life and I got to make up for that, so I'm going to quit drinking. All right, you might quit drinking, but what else do you do? You might do some things to make up for that, but what else do you do? The fact of the matter is, you're always a sinner. You're always going to come short of the glory of God. We're not perfect. We're very imperfect people. And so the self-righteous person thinks, well, I can do enough to make up for my bad, but the point is, the next day you still do more bad, and you still have to do more good to make up, so you're still doing bad, and you're trying to do good. It's so inconsistent. You can't rely upon anything. And if you hold to self-righteousness, what are you doing? Boy, you're taking a big risk because you might have done all the good that you think you can do, and right before you die, you have a bad thought. Boom, you go to hell. What happened to the rest of it? You can't make up for that bad thought. It's very inconsistent, isn't it? That's why self-righteousness is unrighteousness. Not only is it inconsistent, if you go over to chapter 3 of the book of Romans, self-righteousness is inept. It just doesn't have the power. Self-righteousness is faulty because it is works-oriented. I wish I had time to give you all the references, but Romans chapter 4 talks about that if you're going to work, it's going to be a reward of debt. I mean, God would owe it to you. Over in chapter 11 of the book of Romans, it talks about how that it's either works or grace. It can't be both. And yet people still believe that. If it's of grace, it's no more of works. If it's of works, it's no more of grace. But if it's of works, I guarantee it's like you going punching the clock. They pay you because they owe you. You've earned it. There's no grace or faith involved in that. You've earned it. Well, that's the problem with works, because if self-righteousness is all works-oriented. So what do you read in Romans chapter 3? Look at verse 21. What does the Bible tell us? But now the righteousness of God without the law. See that? Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I grant you that some have committed more sins and more hideous sins, and we're all depraved, but some are more corrupt than others in their expression of it. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And works does not satisfy the justice of God. Remember, it's the blood. It's the blood. It's not works. And yet every self-righteous individual thinking they're getting to heaven by their life is doing it by a system of works. And the Bible makes it clear, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And then let me share this with you. Stay right there in Romans just for the sake of a few moments. But self-righteousness is also insufficient. Because the truth of the matter is, a particular goodness cannot outweigh man's evil. Over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, I'm going to read this verse. It says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. if there was a way that man could have been good enough, then God would have allowed a law to do that. But man cannot be good enough, and man can't keep it, even if the law was there. And so self-righteousness is insufficient. Truth is, you can't be good enough. And you can't keep it long enough. You're just too sinful. And you just have to recognize how bad sin really is. But then you'll go back to our text, Romans chapter 10. The last thing that I want to mention in regard to the unrighteousness, self-righteousness is unrighteousness because of insubordination. It's either or. You cannot do both. Some people believe that Christ died for us, and you see it, you receive it by faith, and then you got to work it to keep it. That's impossible. You're either saved by grace through faith, or you're not. It's either works or grace. And by the way, let me say unto you that every religion in the world, I don't care where it is, what it is, every religion can be boiled down to two aspects. It's either grace or works. That's it. And you know the only religion that's grace? It's true Christianity. Every other religion in the world is involved with works. You can do something. You can produce. And that kind of thing. If you submit to self-righteousness, you're in insubordination to God. Proof, Romans 10, verse 3, our very text, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, that self-righteousness, which is unrighteousness, it says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And everyone you know, every person I know that's trying to get to heaven by their good works, they're trying to establish their own righteousness, and while they're trying to establish their own righteousness, while they're trying to live a good life, or they're trying to be religious, you know what they're doing? They're fleeing from God. They will not yield. They will not bow the knee to Jesus Christ. It's insubordination to God. Perhaps they're not aware of God's righteousness. I understand that. It says that the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. And many people today are doing what they only know to do. That's what they've been told. And so they live this, they do this, they treat people this way, simply because they think they can get into heaven. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. Now the Jews, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They went to establish their own righteousness. And in doing so, they would not submit to the righteousness of God. They would not subordinate themselves. They would not yield to God. Now that's tragic. Self-righteousness is unrighteousness. The last point then, what's the answer to all this? Very quickly, it's Christ's righteousness. Aren't you glad for the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Because it says that they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's a problem. If you're here today and you're lost, it's because you have not submitted yourself to the righteousness of God. But I want you to know very simply when I talk about Christ's righteousness, according to the Word of God, that Christ's righteousness is required by the sinfulness of sin and God's justice. Sin is so bad you can't make up for it, and God's justice is so high, the level of the bar is so high, you can't do enough. How's it going to be paid for? It's only going to be through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You even understand that the Bible teaches us that the righteousness which would be credited to us that we can be saved was demanded of one who was absolutely holy and not guilty of sin himself. Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. And the only way that he could become a sacrifice for sinners was to be a pure sacrifice. See, that's why you can't do anything to be a sacrifice for sinners, because you know what? You're already guilty. If you paid anything, it'd be for your own, which you can't do anyway because you can't produce it. You're already defiled. But you know, Jesus Christ is absolutely pure. And so the righteousness of God demands one that was perfect and one that was innocent, one that was not guilty himself, and that's Jesus Christ. Do you understand that Christ's righteousness was necessitated? In order to have that righteousness, it necessitates the perfect law-keeping in every respect. You can't be 99.9% right in the law and think you're getting to heaven. You still fail, don't you? James tells us if you keep all the law except for one point, you're guilty of it all. You're still a lawbreaker. But if you can, the Christ's righteousness, which is the righteousness which we need, is an absolute satisfaction of the justice of God, an absolute perfection. And so what he did for us on the cross, he died on the cross so that he might satisfy God's justice against sin so that we might be saved. And the result is that because of His vicarious substitution for us, He bore our sins and He gave us His righteousness. I'm the one that deserves to go to hell. I'm the one that deserves judgment. But when Christ went on the cross and took the sins upon Himself as He hung there on the tree, I mean, you know what? I deserve to die there, but He died in my stead. And so He bore my sin, and He gave me His righteousness. Thereby I'm forgiven of my sin, not for anything that I've done, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The problem with the Jews is they're ignoring God's righteousness. They will not submit to the righteousness of God. And if you're trying to get to heaven by your good works, by your baptism, by your religion, or anything else other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're not submitting to the righteousness of God, and you must submit to the righteousness of God in order to be saved. And I want to make it very, very clear that this righteousness of Jesus Christ is imparted without works. Without works. The just shall live by faith. I have a host of verses that's listed in your outline. I don't have time to cover them all, but we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that the Bible tells us that Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. As He hung there on the cross, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. He died so that He might satisfy the justice of God. And God looked down and saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. And we also know the Bible teaches, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The self-righteous person, if they ever did get to heaven, they'd say, I'm here because I've done this. And that's boasting. And God says, I will have none of it. There is no boasting in heaven. The only glory is given to God Himself because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice which He made and the salvation He gives to sinners wholly by grace imparted through faith. In conclusion then, and we've seen a little bit about self-righteousness. We saw that self-righteousness is unrighteousness. Therefore, we need Christ's righteousness. Let me give you this very quickly and I'm finished. One thing about self-righteous people is at least they see the need for righteousness. That's a good thing because some people think that they haven't done anything wrong and they don't need righteousness. But at least a self-righteous person would understand, I've got to do something. And that's what they're thinking. But they know that they're sinned. They've sinned against God. Secondly, necessary righteousness is not of man's origin. The righteousness which I need to get to heaven, the righteousness which you need to get to heaven, will not come from you, and will not come from me, and will not come from this church. It's not of human origin. The righteousness which we need comes through Jesus Christ. Therefore, I submit unto you that self-righteousness is deceitful because it gives the wrong view of man's ability. It is deceitful because it evidences a low view of God's justice. Boy, they've really lowered the bar. It is deceitful because it minimizes Jesus' sacrifice. It's deceitful because it inhibits genuine salvation. As long as the person is trying to get to heaven by their works, they'll never submit to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's deceitful. And it's deceitful because it produces a false sense of security. They think they're going to make it, and they are not. And then it's self-righteousness is deceitful because it leads to eternal damnation of the soul. How tragic is that? If you're here today thinking you're getting to heaven because of your good works, because you treat your neighbor right, or you keep the Ten Commandments to the best of your ability, you're headed to hell. You need the Savior. Would you be saved? Because the last thing is this: necessary righteousness is Jesus's righteousness. The righteousness which you need is in Jesus Christ. So do not be ignorant of God's righteousness. Embrace Jesus Christ today. Be saved today. You cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. And the righteousness you need is only through Christ. Would you be saved today? Would you trust Him? Would you believe on Him? By the way, I want you to know that faith and belief is a gift of God. So you're not going to get to heaven and say, well, I was smart enough to believe, and they weren't. No, if you believe, it's because God's granted you the gift of faith and the gift of repentance. Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you rejoice in the salvation you have? Because I'll tell you, it's not up to you. Because if it was up to you, you wouldn't make it, and I wouldn't make it. I'm glad it's by grace through faith. Do not be self-righteous. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience and your kindness, and I pray that God's spoken to your heart. through these things. Let's stand. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word today, and I pray that you would bless your word and just work it in every heart according to your spirit and by your power. And we pray for the lost here today that they might be saved. And Lord, if there's any in our midst who's been self-righteous, thinking they could get to heaven by their good works, may they have seen it very clearly today. Open up their heart, open up their mind, let the light shine through, that they be saved today by the Lord Jesus Christ and by your grace and mercy that you bestow upon them. Father, we ask that you would save the lost, strengthen those of us who are saved, and we'll give you the honor and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?